Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Gina Sanfilippo is a speech-language pathologist with a private practice in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She started her private practice on the side shortly after becoming a speech-language pathologist. After gaining some experience in private practice and seeing the potential for growth, Gina left her school position in June of 2023 to focus on expanding her private practice. I've gotten to know Gina during her time in the Grow Your Private Practice program, and it has been amazing to watch her private practice become successful while also finding a better work-life balance and being able to focus on her expertise and passion in assistive technology. In this episode, she talks about how she started out by seeing private clients on the side of her full-time job to how she's grown her private practice and has started hiring. Gina shares that she found that working with her own clients was more energizing and fulfilling, and her client base grew steadily, leading to a successful transition. If you've been thinking about seeing private clients on the side of your job and then are thinking about doing it full time, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system, and I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
So my name is Gina Sanfilippo. My practice is Beesney Speech Therapy, and I'm located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I am so excited to do this interview with you. I feel like we've gotten to know each other over the last couple of years, and I'm just so excited to hear your backstory and then also have you share with our listeners what your private practice looks like now and also like what it's evolving into. So before we kind of talk about what things are like now, can you please take us back to the beginning of your kind of career? And then when did you start thinking about private practice?
Yes. So first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. But when I graduated, so I graduated in the spring of 2020, great time to graduate. And I was going to be in the schools. And so I had done my like graduate placement at a high school. I loved it. There were no high school placements available when I started. So I ended up actually in an elementary school and got a little bit of experience there. And then a position actually did open up in a high school. So I jumped over to the high school setting and I was there for 3 years. And so I just left that position at the end of the 22-23 school year. So just this last June. And I loved it. It was a great job. I loved the caseload and the people that were there, but I knew that I wanted to grow professionally in some ways that just weren't available in that type of setting. And so I'd done a few side jobs, like I PRN'd in a SNF, wasn't for me, PRN'd at a pediatric outpatient center, like through a hospital system. Again, just like wasn't really feeling it, like really liked the caseload, but just not my setting. I kind of felt like I was just missing something, like I needed something else. So I had a friend who started a private practice, like, and jumped into it full time about a year before I did. And so she was kind of my inspiration. I can give her a shout out. That's Talking Bear Speech. She's awesome. Also in the like greater Milwaukee area of Wisconsin. But she was kind of my inspiration that got me into private practice. So I started my private practice on the side. I had one client for a while, and I would just go see them after my school job, and just it was pretty easy. And then I picked up a few more in the summer. I started in March of 2022. So then that summer of 2022, I picked up a few more clients. I ended up having about three, I think, and I just kind of left it there, kept it small on the side of my full-time position in the schools. And then once spring hit, this last spring, it grew to about six. And so I would see two, three nights a week. So I just did two back to back, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it was a really good balance for where I was at. And I just was really enjoying the private practice side of stuff. And so then with June of 2023, I left my school position and jumped in full time to my practice.
Oh my gosh. Listeners, how exciting is this, right? Like, and what a terrible time to have graduated from grad school, right? Like, basically the worst, yes. Right? So I'm sorry that that timing, like, happened to you and your peers and everybody else. But, like, I'm just so happy that you were able to find, and you tried a couple different settings, right? Like, you tried some PRN work, you tried a couple different things, but I'm so happy that you found your way to private practice. And you did just what I teach people to do, which is to start on the side, right? So I want to hear about how you made that decision to leave your job. But before we do that, can you just tell our listeners, what does it feel like to be at a position like your day job and then leave that job and go to your private client's house? What does that feel like?
Yeah, so there were some days where, like, leaving the school, I was just honestly, like, exhausted. And I was just kind of like, ugh, now I have, like, some more work to do, right? Like, just kind of that feeling of, like, I just want to go home because I just went through a whole day of work. But then I'd go to my clients and I'd see my clients and I left there feeling so energized and, like, refreshed. And it didn't really feel like work. Like, it was therapy. We were doing therapy. It was work, but it just really was, like, uplifting and just a little more meaningful. And not that my school position wasn't meaningful, because it very much was, but just, like, this was my thing. Like, I was in charge of it. I got these clients through, like, my marketing and that type of stuff. So it was just it was such a shift in feeling. It was really, actually really cool to kind of observe within myself.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that too. I remember leaving I worked at hospitals and, like, leaving the hospital job, like, getting in the car. And the same thing that you just described about feeling, like, a little tired and a little bit about, oh, man, like, I kind of wish I was just going home. But at the same time, completely energized by these sessions that I had full control of and was finally earning what I was worth. And I remember half the time I'd get out of my sessions and, like, call my mom and be like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm really making a difference. Like, this is so fantastic. So I'm glad that you had a similar experience. And listeners, like, you can have that too, right? You can have a job that even, Gina, it sounds like you didn't even, like, hate your school job. You just were, like, looking for more.
I knew that I wanted to be more of, like, an assistive tech person, like, more assistive communication focused. And I had tried to kind of do that in my district, and it just wasn't feasible with the size of the district I was in and that kind of stuff. So I knew what I wanted to do professionally and that I just couldn't do it there. I did love it, but it just wasn't possible.
I love that you recognize that. And you're like, listen, I'm made for more. Like, I have more skills. I have more talents. I have more to offer. And if I can't do that at the school, like, I'm going to do it for myself, but also obviously for the clients that you were going to see, right? Okay. Yeah. So you had like your three clients and then you worked up to six. And then can you tell our listeners, what was that decision like for you thinking about quitting your job?
Yeah, it was a lot of conversations with my husband and just a lot of like, hey, like, here's what I'm thinking of, kind of like, here's where we are in life. Here's maybe where we're looking to be in life. Is this something that would work for us? And luckily enough, it was, and it was something that we could kind of do. And I knew that worst case scenario, if it didn't work out, there was going to be a job waiting. We know there's a shortage of speech pathologists in the schools, especially. So that was kind of like, I knew I had a safety net, more or less. If I needed it, it was there and I could like jump into another job. So we kind of went into it with that mindset. And then it was just, as summer went on, I kind of just jumped right in and I saw my client base growing and I went from 6 to 12 to like 18 by the end of summer. And so my numbers just kind of kept growing. And I swear the universe listens, because there would be times where I'd be like, okay, like I'm ready for some more clients. And then I would get like 5 calls in a week. And then I'd be kind of just thinking to myself, like, okay, I'm ready to kind of coast for a little bit. I'm good with this. I want to stay at this level. And I like wouldn't get any calls for a while. It was really cool. It was just fun to kind of see how it happened. And I've only seen growth so far. So that's, I've been very fortunate in that way too.
I love that. And listen, and Gina, I believe that that's true too, that like the universe does listen. It knows when you're truly ready. Like I've seen some people say like, oh man, I'm ready to start. And like, no, nothing's happening. And then they get like frustrated and whatever else. But when you're truly like open yourself up and you are completely ready for the next level, it truly is like the people appear. And it's often people who really desperately need you. And they themselves have been looking for you. And then you connect and it's like the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really cool. And just getting to know the families on a little bit more of a personal level has been amazing. And I just really feel like I formed friendships with some of them, like the parents. We're kind of there to pick each other up sometimes when things get hard. And it's just been a really cool experience that I don't think you always get in some of like the bigger facility settings.
Yeah. And I'm just so proud of you too for saying like, listen, like doing the math, right? And talking it out with your husband and then saying like, okay, like I've got 6 now, like by the end of the summer, I'd like to be a whatever number. And like, it sounds like you really like methodically like built that caseload up, right? And at the time of this recording, it's the fall, right? So you've had a little bit of time kind of in this fall period. What would you say that your private practice looks like these days?
So now I actually have 2 1099 contractors, which is really cool. So I've grown a little bit. They don't have huge caseloads or anything, but they help me pick up a few evening kids that just really kind of help spread out my workload as well. And I'm seeing my private clients Mondays and Wednesdays, pretty much all day and then into the evening. And then Tuesday and Thursday, I actually do have a school contract under my private practice. So I am contracting part-time as an assistive tech coordinator in one of the bigger districts around like my area, but that's been a very new adjustment that I kind of finally feel like I'm getting my footing with now that we're in the middle of October. But yeah, that's been a really cool way to just kind of grow in a way I didn't see myself growing.
Yeah. You said something really subtle there that I just want to go back to, which is that you've hired these contractors, which helps you balance your workload, right? That was powerful. And so can you just share a little bit about that? Because I think so many people get into private practice and think like, oh, it's just going to be me. It's just going to be solo. And then something happens and then people start to think about hiring. What was that for you?
Yeah. So actually, I kind of got to that idea or the conclusion with help from your Facebook groups, Jenna, because that's just such a nice, empowering community of people. But I coach basketball in the winter and I didn't want to give that up. And I knew I didn't want to give that up. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I just jumped into this full time. I don't think I can hire, but like I need help picking up my evening caseload, like that after school time. It gets so busy that I just don't know what to do. And someone commented on it and was just like, hire, like keep the things that you want to do. That's why you're doing this. Like, you're going to have the clients, you're going to have that money coming in. Like, it's okay. It's okay to hire. And I was like, you know what? Okay. And so I did, and I ended up bringing them on a little sooner because the season hasn't started yet, but just kind of getting them acclimated to like what this side of things looks like. And I'm getting to know some clients that they would be picking up anyway. So I just decided I'm going to do this for me. And I had some colleagues from some previous positions that were interested in kind of exploring the private practice world. So it's kind of a win-win for both of us. I was like, you get to see the private practice side of things. I also get some help with picking up some of my caseload. So yeah, that's kind of how that one happened.
Well, and I love that because you're right. That does, it helps you immensely, right? And it is also protecting something that is so important to you, which is the basketball coaching, right? I think that that's one of the things that as business owners, as helping professionals, like we care a lot about other people, right? And sometimes we care so much about other people that we get lost, right? We put ourselves on the back burner. We put everybody else first. And things like health and hobbies and those kind of things can like take a back side. But I would argue, listeners, that that's what leads to burnout, right? That's what leads to burnout and not having that balance. So Gina, I love that you have protected basketball for yourself and for the team that you coach. And so hiring is such a smart way to be able to keep that boundary and keep that space for yourself while still generating income for your practice.
Yeah. And it's funny because today I was actually just kind of thinking to myself that ever since starting my practice, when I was in my school position, I really feel like I had that great work-life balance. I went to work, I came home, kind of left work at work. It was fine. And now being a business owner, I lost that for a little while as I was kind of growing a lot for the last couple of months. And I was just kind of like feeling like I had to work all weekend or not getting my notes done during the week, then having to do them on a Saturday. And I was just feeling myself kind of sinking back into that feeling of burnout. And the last few weekends, I've really just made it like a point to not work and not really focus on work and dedicating time during the week to stuff. And if it doesn't get done, I'll get to it next week. And I am feeling myself kind of bringing that feeling of burnout. It's going away. I'm coming back up to, okay, like I can do it. It's just a matter of finding those systems and finding what works for you and doing all that stuff. I also did hire a virtual assistant, which super helped take some things off my plate that I really truthfully did not want to do, but needed to get done. And so that was another piece that was just super worth the investment for me because I wanted more of that balance back. And that definitely helped me get it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You're saying all the right things because having a virtual assistant, like, and listeners, like you may or may not know that this is an option, that you can literally hire somebody who helps you with a lot of the day-to-day operations of your practice, right? Tell our listeners, what kinds of things does your virtual assistant, also known as a VA, help you with?
Yeah, so I was not tracking my mileage all summer. Just, I don't know why I didn't do it, but I didn't do it. So the one thing that she's helping me do is kind of go through and count the mileage so I can put it on my sheet so that when tax time comes around, I have the summer. I have started tracking it now, so we're good there. But she's just kind of helping me catch up on what I didn't have before. She also does billing. And so I am credentialed with Medicaid. So as I get some Medicaid clients, she'll help me with the billing side of stuff. So I don't have to worry about any of that, which is really nice. She will probably most likely down the road help me get credentialed with some other insurances as I start to expand out what I want to accept. Haven't figured that one out yet, but I'm not really worried about that yet. But yeah, so she's just kind of there for any of those tasks, like administrative, housekeeping things that I just need to do, but maybe don't want to, don't have time to kind of help. She helps me with delegating that out to her. So
yeah, because there are things that have to be done, but they don't have to be done by you. Right?
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I love that. Awesome. So you've hired some contractors. You've hired a virtual assistant. We can check some hiring off. Super cool. You used one of my other favorite words earlier, which is contracts, right? So you have this 2-day week school contract. How did that kind of happen? Was it something that fell into your lap or something that you made happen?
It kind of fell into my lap a little bit. It was a little bit of both of those. So it was a local school district that had a position for assistive tech coordinator and a full-time high school SLP. And I reached out to them and I said, hey, I am not looking to do any direct services, but I am interested in your assistive tech coordinator. Would you be willing to contract that out and separate those two roles? And actually, I did not hear back from them, but then I had a friend interview for that district for a different position, and she kind of name dropped me. And then they reached out to me after that, and then it just kind of worked out really well. So I tried, but then it also kind of came to me through the help of a friend. But yeah, so I met with them. I kind of told them what I was after. I told them my rate. They kind of told me what they were after and agreed to what I was saying, and I agreed to what they were saying. And this all happened about a week and a half before school started. So it was a very fast process and very kind of last minute, but well worth it, in my opinion. I'm really enjoying it. So
yeah. Well, and this is also going to help you. You could do this maybe with other school districts, or you could use down that expertise as a consultant kind of a role to continue to do the thing that you love the most, right? Which is AAC.
Yep. And that's kind of my plan. That's kind of where I hope to maybe see that happen and that growth continue. But we'll see. I don't know where we'll end up.
Well, I love that you're keeping your options open, but I also really love that you're building this practice in a way that it sounds like it's working well for you, right? And even when you started to maybe be working a little bit too much and feeling like that burnout was setting in. And listeners, I do that from time to time, right? I started doing some more stuff. This is maybe too much information. I don't know. Started going to bed earlier, right? I used to always stay up till I considered myself a night owl, and I would stay up till 10:30, 11. And then finally I'm like, you know what, Jenna, maybe you should try to go to bed earlier. And it has made such a difference in my life, right? But the reason why I was able to do that, because I said, you know what, Jenna, it's not working for you to work at night so much like it used to, right? And so I had to set that boundary. And by setting the boundary, now I'm getting the benefit of feeling more rested, getting more done, and that kind of thing. So as business owners, you get to choose your time and how you spend it. And so I love, Gina, how you kind of reined yourself in a little bit and was like, listen, I'm getting out of balance again, and I actually have control over this, so I'm going to stop myself.
Yes. Yeah. And it was one of those things where I'd be coming home and my husband and I do the numbers thing. So it's what number are you at today? And that kind of helps us know okay, what do I need to do to kind of maybe pick up some extra slack today or whatever it might be. And there's a few days where I was at a three or four and I was like, this is not okay. And then we just kind of reshaped it and I got to fit it to what I needed. And I think something that you have taught, Jenna, is having the lifestyle practice is one option to go. And it's definitely, I feel like some days I really do lean into that lifestyle practice. So this last week I had more cancellations, just sicknesses going around that time of year. And so I took that opportunity to, instead of worrying about I'm missing clients, I'm not getting as much money this week, I was like, okay, you know what? It's just this week. I'm going to, instead, I got my newsletters out. I started doing a newsletter with my practice and I was able to have time to do that during the day. And I was ahead on my notes and I took that time to kind of do more of those things that maybe I don't get to do during the day. I went grocery shopping. I got to work out earlier in the day than usual. And so just some of that stuff that I hold valuable as a human and in my life, I get to do more and be more flexible with the way that my practice is.
Yeah, that makes me so happy. And one of the things I like about the things you keep saying is that you keep reframing things, right? You're like, okay, this maybe didn't work out as planned, or this is a little different than I thought. So therefore I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, right? And so I think that some of the challenges I see with private practitioners who struggle and continue to struggle is they don't do that, right? They don't pull themselves out of situations that are no longer serving them, right? If they have a whole bunch of cancellations, they get in kind of a dread spiral or something like that. And they think, oh my gosh, this is it. Like my practice is done. Like I should just go back and work in the schools or whatever. Versus like what you said, which is like, you know what, maybe this week is a little bit down, but like next week will be better. Or like that kind of thing. It's just a much healthier attitude to say, you know what, there are going to be ups and downs, but like I can control that. And if I do have a little bit of a down moment, like I'm going to seize the day and do midweek grocery shopping, which to me is like the best thing ever.
Hi there, Jenna Castor Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
I think just within our profession, I know at least my experience, it was really kind of like put into our heads that everything has to be perfect all the time. You have to have the perfect lesson plan, the perfect therapy session, the perfect whatever. Private practice is not perfect. And I've had a lot of learning moments throughout my time. It has not been all sunshine and rainbows as I've grown and learned. But the nice thing is that my families understand and they know that like I'm learning, I'm kind of building this business from the ground up, and they are very open to that. And they're growing with me because a lot of them maybe haven't experienced private practice either or haven't had a therapist come into their home and work so closely with them. It's maybe just the school SLP who maybe they only talk to at IEP time or a couple times a year. So I think we've all kind of grown together between my clients and myself. And so that's been a really cool thing as well, is that I know that it's okay if I maybe don't get something right all of the time. You know what I mean? Like there will be mess ups or small mistakes, and that's okay.
Yeah, just like it is for our clients, right? Like we're usually so kind if our clients mess up or make a mistake, and we say that to them. Mistakes are learning experiences and like all that kind of stuff. But somehow when sometimes we make a mistake, we again feel like it's like the end, right? Or like whatever. And so I think we all need to have more grace with ourselves. And we need to also remember that mistakes or whatever are part of our learning experiences as business owners. The next thing I wanted to ask you about, before we started recording, you kind of talked about starting to maybe shift from being more of a generalist to maybe thinking more about specializing. Can you share a little bit about that part of your private practice journey?
Yeah. So I know I mentioned it before, but an area that I really love working with is AAC. And so I had a lot of experience with it at my school position, and it's just something that I really fell in love with. So I'm hoping to kind of gear my practice more in that direction. I think especially having contractors on, it kind of makes it really nice to say like, okay, like here's the type of cases that this contractor really likes and is comfortable with. They can take early intervention. Maybe this other contractor really likes articulation, so they're going to get like the harder articulation, those R's that always creep up on us. And then I can kind of say like, okay, like I'm going to specialize myself in AAC. So the practice itself can still be general, but my practice will be more what I want it to be, which is kind of nice. And so I have a few AAC clients that I'm seeing right now. I'm in the middle of a couple trials with them. I've seen some really great growth. I had a parent actually text me over the weekend that told me something really cool that happened with the trial device that one of my clients has. And so that's like, those are the moments that I really like live for. And I do this for is to get those cool messages of someone using their device independently, that kind of stuff. So That is my goal. And then with that school contract, I'm the assistive tech coordinator for a district. So I'm working with AAC users across the district, whether it's implementing, troubleshooting, trying to find maybe a program that's a right fit for someone if they're new to the AAC world, working with parents to do some training, that kind of stuff. And then there's other assistive tech pieces that come with that. But my own practice, I really want to work on that AAC side. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
I love that. And like AAC truly is a specialty, right? And it's the kind of thing that a lot of SLPs don't feel comfortable with, right? I feel like feeding, fluency, AAC, maybe even voice, right? Are the types of things that like people just like don't want to wing it, right? They're like, listen, this is not something I want to like, just like see if I can figure out. Like, I need to send this child, this adult, this teenager, whomever, to someone who's really good at this, right? And so I think that is like such a great opportunity for you to get to know SLPs all over and OTs and physicians and social workers, pediatricians, whoever, but like all over the Milwaukee area, who if you can become known as like the go-to AAC person, a lot of people just don't have that expertise or knowledge or confidence or whatever. And they're going to be like, no, this child needs to go be seen by Gina, who will really know how to help them.
Yeah, one thing I'm kind of in the process of doing right now is working on building some connections with other clinics, just like you said, who maybe don't have that comfort with AAC that I feel that I have. And so I actually am kind of in the process of connecting with one right now. I had just sent over a few recordings of me doing some AAC therapy with one of my clients, with permission, of course, but me just kind of like going through the system with the client, doing the therapy, like doing language therapy with the client, with the device and what the modeling looks like and what the program looks like. And so that's definitely one way that I'm trying to build out is just seeing like what clinics are there that have like these really great reputations, but maybe aren't getting AAC. And this is kind of a nice way that we can build client bases with each other.
And listeners, see how Gina's leading with helpfulness, right? Sometimes people get really nervous about marketing and they're like, oh, I don't want to be pushy. Like, I don't know. But like what you're doing is super helpful, right? You're helping other clinics fill a void, right? They're not offering AAC. Therefore, like you're not a competitor with them. And they probably have clients who either come there or during the time there, they realize this child is actually probably a candidate for AAC. They don't feel comfortable. But now they can send them to you. And that's like such a full run for literally everybody involved in that person's care, right? And so I love that you're doing that. Great, great idea. And again, you're leading with helpfulness versus like being pushy or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And that was kind of my fear is like, I don't want them to think I'm coming in here and like demanding something from them, but more of like, how can we help each other out? Like, is there something that I can offer that maybe you want to grow in? What's something that maybe you offer that I want to grow? Whatever it might be, it's all about helping each other out.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love everything that you're doing. And I'm sure that we've had lots of people listening or like inspired by what you're doing and what you've done, Gina, in a relatively short period of time.
That is something that's been a little shocking to me as well, is kind of how quickly it all grew. And I think, again, that kind of comes back to June 2023 hit, I said, okay, I'm open to it. Like, let's kind of see what happens. People would kind of say like, well, what are you hoping to do? And at that time I was like, I don't know. I'm going to kind of see where the wind takes me this summer and see where we end up. And I am honestly not where I thought I would end up, but it's so much better than what I thought it would be. So I'm very happy and very proud of this journey.
And you should be, right? You're filling a void. You're filling a void for the clients that you're serving and the parents and the family members and everything else. You're filling a void for the professionals who don't know where to send these kids to, but also professionals who are working for you, right? Who need like a couple extra hours maybe or whatever, whether they're in a clinical role like your contractors or your virtual assistant role. You're serving a need for the Milwaukee area. And then you're also serving your own needs, right? Before we kind of wrap up, can you just share with our listeners, what are some things that, and you've said this a little bit, but I guess say it again, What are some other ways that private practice has changed your like day-to-day life kind of like as a person?
I think it has really kind of helped me let go of like that feeling of control. Like, not that I was like, have to control everything all the time, but you know, there's that piece of us that's always like, we like to know what's next. And private practice has kind of made me not always know what's next in a very good way. And I have been really appreciative of that because I feel like that's kind of making me more of that person in my day-to-day life as well, aside from just as a business owner or speech therapist, but more just like carpe diem, like taking the day as it comes and just kind of like living each day as it is. And sometimes it can be really easy to just kind of be going through the motions of life. And I just think that this whole change has made me really appreciate more of these like smaller things of life, like the smaller joys. I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Oh, and first of all, nor should you, but I'm just so excited for you. And so if any of our listeners would like to connect with you, can you please share where they could find you online?
Yeah. So you can find my website at bktherapyllc.com. And on there is a way to reach out to me through email and then my phone number, whatever works best. My email is also speech@bktherapyllc.com. Feel free to email me with any questions, anything that might be out there. Feel free.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey and inspiring everybody. And I just can't wait to see what happens next. But I'm also wishing you the best of luck in the basketball season. And I'm so happy that you have protected that really important part of your life.
I want to say before we end that I don't think I could have done it without the independent clinician community. I started listening to your free boot camps, and that's kind of what gave me the confidence to even just get that one client and kind of take the leap to starting an LLC and becoming a business. And ever since then, I've just only grown deeper into the independent clinician community and the private practice journey through your modules and courses and the free trainings and all of that stuff. And I think that that really gave me the confidence that I needed to take the leap. So if anyone's on the fence about like even the beginner Facebook group, whatever it might be, it's so helpful to just have a community of people that are in a similar boat as you. And that is really just what helped push me along. So that's kind of my plug for you, Jenna.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You guys, I'm just fortunate to have found what I love to do, right? Gina, you love AAC. I have loved aphasia, mild traumatic brain injury, cognitive issues. But now I love SLPs and OTs, right? I love private practice. I love merging my love of these professions with my love of business, right? So I think that just like we can evolve as clinicians in terms of like what we offer, we can also evolve as people, and the types of populations that we serve can be different. So thank you for saying all those kind words, but I truly just feel like the universe, to go back to the universe, has put me in this position of guiding SLPs and OTs through the private practice journey. And I truly love what I do and who I help. And I love that you get to help more people, because you kind of know what to do from a business point of view. So everybody wins.
It's true. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for being on the show. Okay. Don't you just love Gina? I love how she discussed her experience with setting boundaries and reframing challenges in her private practice. She emphasized the importance of being flexible, learning from mistakes, and maintaining a positive attitude in order to grow and succeed. She is a perfect example of someone who transitioned to a full-time private practice and was able to hire to help her balance her workload and allow her to continue to coaching basketball, which is very important to her. Because she grew her private practice in a strategic way with help from the Grow Your Private Practice program, she was able to protect her boundaries, prevent burnout, and find a better work-life balance. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we help support SLPs and OTs just like Gina, and you want our help to start and grow your private practice, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.